Thanks for Coming, the sex ed you wish you'd had. Mijn naam is Anna Mara Jansen en bij Thanks for Coming bespreken we alles wat je altijd al wilde weten over seks en seksualiteit. Iedere week ga ik met een opwindende gast in gesprek om mythes te ontkrachten en feiten te verspreiden. De clitoris is geen knopje en libido bestaat niet. Van seksueel plezier tot slutshaming, van sekstoys tot je stoutste dromen. Let's talk about sex. Vandaag zijn mijn gasten Lauren Verwij en Sarah Mountford. This episode will be in English because Sarah, you're from...
I'm from the UK. I can... My Dutch is okay. So if it needs to go a bit in Dutch, that's also
so
absolutely
fine. So
we'll
be a bit of a mix today.
Bit of a mix. Yeah. I can understand most, but difficult for me to speak.
Yeah. So I'm very, very happy you're here. We met, I think, 2 years ago.
Maybe a little
at the beginning. At the beginning of our journey. Yeah, which we'll be talking about today. Of course, I invited you because you focus a lot on pleasure. You think that's very important. But first, we always start with the question, how was your first time?
Not so good. No, that was more our first time because everybody was having his or her first time, and I felt I was missing out. Had to do something about it.
Yeah.
So no.
So peer pressure a bit.
A little bit. Yeah. I would tell myself now.
Yeah. What would you tell yourself now?
Don't do it. Yeah. Wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So definitely will tell my daughter this at one point.
And your sons too?
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think this came up after the event we did about the education event.
We had
a conversation and we hadn't really even discussed it, but it came into the topic about your first time and what you would and wouldn't do differently. And it the same, it was, just a very lousy experience, and you wish you knew more about yourself, or you had had a conversation with your mom or your sister or girlfriends a little bit more about this topic, and then that would have removed the pressure I think to do it if you all knew what was going to come, if you knew yourself a little bit more, and then there would have been no pressure, I think. And that's also part of why we're doing what we're doing and why we did the event with you about the sex education because
maybe tell a little bit more about the event we did.
Well, back last year we did this for us. What we do, it's all about knowing yourself better, understanding sexual wellness, sexual pleasure. And we, on our journey for the last 3 years, we've been online for 2 years, but around for 3 years,
and
working
we,
on the
barrier. We self-studies.
Because
we didn't even name that yet. Because you own self-studies.
We are self-studies.com. And we founded this 3 years ago. Worked on it for a year and then launched it in pretty much 2 years.
2 years.
And along in our journey, we're not experts. We're from fashion. And, by chance, we ended up doing this because we both, there was nothing quite like this in the market. And we saw how important it was. And for us, how less important fashion was becoming. And we were like, there's got to be something more with a purpose, something more that has a meaning. And we're both raising young kids, and it's something we ended up touching on and discussing. And now we have self-studies. But to the event we did, for us, it was we meet so many fascinating, interesting people in our journey, and our audience. A lot of them are parents, boys, girls, of various different ages. And a lot of our
they're also in our direct network
is all that's how we met, because we're also other than met through fashion, we have kids in the same class. And so it was also about, everyone asks us, how do you tell your kids what you do?
Yeah.
And how do you explain to them, and how do your families react? And so this was also but for us it ends up also making it a broader subject. How do you tell kids not just about what we do, but all the pitfalls that we want to change? And we think if we educate our kids better and tell them more, then they understand themselves better. So it goes full circle back to losing your virginity for the first time, being pressured into do it. If you have this conversation with them, you can avoid the pitfalls that we experienced. And that for us takes this, it's not just about knowing your pleasure, but also about how you educate the next generation, the future generation.
And that was what the event was about.
Yeah.
You, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we did an event about sex education and parenting. Yeah. And we did it with a lot of parents. They were also dads. I was very happy about that.
Yeah. And also, which was, I think we, because this was the first time we hosted an event where we also sold tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was sold out within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it also says a little bit about, I think, the how people are curious also about this subject.
Yeah, how a lot of people
also don't
know
really
more.
Know how to navigate this whole this whole thing with kids and sexuality and how to talk about this with them. So we did an event.
Yeah.
We I think had the same thing, how to give the talk.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
And which was great. Yeah.
But for me, I learned so much on that night. And there, we knew what was coming up. We knew what the event was going to be about because we planned the event with you.
Yeah.
But even for me, sat in the audience, I was like, And then the next morning, because you were like, well, if you know, when you think you need to be giving the talk, it should have been actually 3 years earlier. I think 3 years, you said. It should have been earlier. It should have been way earlier. So literally that thing when I had breakfast with Rest. So do you know where I was last night then? Told him straight when. He was like, all right, Mom. Yeah. Carried on eating his Weetabix. All right, Mom. But it was more about the, and even now we have this conversation where we just put it in a very low Dremel. Drop things in here and there.
Yeah.
He had a couple of spots the other day and I was like, I could stop T-Ref. Even though he's
just answer their questions, right?
Like, I just put it there so that at one point is a question he knows
that
he can ask.
Yeah.
And that's a bit, so it was just super fast. It was a brilliant night we did.
So how was your first time?
No, it is super lousy. It was super lousy. And 100%. And it was with somebody who shouldn't have been the somebody. It was just with the... wrong person, and it was just a very miserable experience and something that, if I could go back in time, 100%
you would change. Yeah.
And you see all these movies where it's in a field and the sun's setting, and there's horses grazing, and, there's a picnic blanket and, all this stuff. Well, it was far from that.
And what would you tell yourself now, like your younger self?
What would you wish? To understand yourself, know yourself, and don't be, and the fear of riding with the crowd and feeling that pressure that you have to do something.
Yeah, which is of course hard because I think every boy and girl in that age will have that peer pressure at some point, right? Like
I think most kids in high school, you don't want to be different.
Difficult to have that conversation because it's also a feeling, and it's I think something. Yeah.
And how do you know if you're ready?
Yeah, exactly.
And what is ready?
What's ready? And I think it changes, but I think it's just to really.
But I think just to be more open about it up front already, and create an atmosphere where they feel free to ask questions. Talk about the subject. It already gives them a little bit more perspective on what it is. And I think, makes it maybe a bit easier for them to think about, do I want to do this or don't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting because I ask all my guests the question, how was your first time? And people always think about, as you said, losing their virginity. And it's always about like penetrative sex. But Ellen Lan, of course, she said, why isn't the first time you orgasm in the company of another person?
Which was great.
We can also maybe see more. Well, exactly. And then you, feels so
then
different.
It's different.
So it's also interesting how like language influences how we feel and talk and act around sexuality, I think.
Yeah.
And how we all think immediately, I mean, me too, about, the first time I did that.
Yeah. But that I think the first time always brings you back to the first time having
a little self-virginity. And I
heard it. Yeah, so that's interesting too. So you've already said a lot of interesting things, and I'm wondering, how do you tell your kids about what you're doing?
Well, I think we do it in quite a relaxed.
I don't sit them down and tell them like this is what I'm doing. And of course, like there is products lying around the house sometimes because then we have a shoot or it needs to be shipped somewhere. And they see our stickers and our branding, and of course they've seen the webshop. But if they have a question, I answer their question. Yeah. And
and they're now 9 and 10, and I think they know up until a certain
point
what we're doing.
Yeah,
but it's not in depth that they also understand what we're doing. So it's
and it's also, I mean, in general, I think kids aren't that interested in what their parents are doing.
Not
right?
at all. No, not at all.
No, not at all.
No, but I do have the stock room in the basement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
quite often the kids come go are down there and they're like, oh, what's this? What's that? And but you know, as much as they see the product, the product is also, we've got books there, we've got supplements, perfumes, fragrances, candles. So I also make sure I tell them that it's not just about the toys, which, by the way, I say are more massages. They're like personal body massages, because you can either use them as massages.
Yeah.
But we say about the supplements.
Taking care of yourself.
Yeah,
because maybe let's talk about self-studies.
Mm-hmm.
What is the goal of self-studies? Like, what do you want to achieve?
For us, it's about owning your pleasure and taking it seriously. So we always say, sort of, you know, we talk about first of all, it's physical wellness. Mm-hmm. Then people talk about mental health.
You go to a gym, you go to a coach, you see a psychologist, you go to a therapist. And I think the sexual wellness part of this whole area is missed.
Yeah.
And it's all part of it.
Yeah.
Ignored is, I think, the word. And it's part of your total wellness. Like, if you can't tell what you enjoy or where your pleasure is, how can someone else help you or do that with you? So it's so important to know what you like, or taking care of yourself.
And we think there's been I think for both of us, this topic has been avoided for a very long time, and people rather not have this discussion, or they think it's embarrassing, or they think there's no place for it, it should just be avoided. Well, what we've learned over the last 3 years is that so many people, like regular people, want to talk about it, and they want to open up, and they want to ask a question or tell something. And there isn't actually a platform, there isn't actually a space, because they don't feel they can do this with a friend. They don't feel that they could, they don't want to speak to a therapist, because that's a bridge too far. They don't want to speak to a family member, but they want to have this conversation. And whatever the conversation is, and there's, you know, it's far ranging. There isn't this place where they can either find the information, talk about it, speak to someone. And that's what we've realized along on this journey. And for us, it is putting it in the spotlight, shining a light on it, as if it is physical or mental health or intimate wellness, is just as important.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, just intertwine it with all the rest.
You go to a gym and
you talk to a therapist or a coach.
Yeah.
And taking care of yourself and your intimate wellness is also.
But also, it's so important. Like, I think during, you know, throughout every different stage of our life, at one point you might be a few pounds overweight, so you go on a diet, you hit the gym. After pregnancy, after having a baby, after trauma,
in every life phase.
Yeah.
Hey, when going through your first time, when you are like 16, 17, 18, then it's important to know your own body and your own intimate wellness. But then you grow older, you get to do it with a partner. Then it's important that you learn to talk about it and that you can have this conversation. Then after having babies, it's completely different again. You really have
no one actually tells you this, I think. No one actually tells
you. You really have to get to know yourself again. And I think at one point menopause comes in, or grief, or
there's
stress. There's a phase in every life stage. And and you have to navigate this intimate wellness again.
Yeah, and it gets affected, I think, at all of these stages, which no one really also talks about.
No.
The impact of stress and sex or pleasure, it's no one really ever talks about.
No.
And it's something that I think we've come to realize is totally normal.
Yeah.
But it just needs to be.
Are people coming up to you more? Like, do you have friends or people in your...
Definitely.
Like, oh, you do something with this.
Yeah.
Can we...
No, yeah, that's the whole...
How is that?
I love it. And I didn't... When we founded self-studies, this wasn't the part that I was expecting to love or also to come to us.
Yeah.
But I love this whole conversation existing next to the platform we bring, or the self-studies we founded. So besides the products we sell and the business we have there, yeah, now we also have this whole
conversation.
Yeah, the conversation parts, and I think it's so nice that people feel free to ask us these questions, and yeah. We always tell them as well, like, we're not experts, so you can ask us everything.
Yeah,
you also don't know. We're learning with you, but it's super interesting to have these conversations, and that's also why we, for instance, did this event with you, because we got these questions, like, how do you tell your kids, or how do you start this conversation, and then we thought we should bring you in, Anna in. And organize this really nice evening so people can ask all these questions. Because most of the time it's just one question.
Yeah.
And one question is not enough to go to a therapy,
no.
Through therapists or to, hey, you don't, where do you go with one question? But then, like, on an evening like this, your questions get answered. And
we had the pop-up shop for 3 months at the end of a year ago.
Yeah.
And the questions that people would come in or just end up talking about and opening up this dialogue. Like, so many, you realize how many people, and of all ages, by the way, like, you know, and that was one of the most beautiful things, I think, for us, that we realized that, I think, when people are talking about sex, or when it's, you know, it's always they always picture these really young people having sex.
Yeah.
We had people who were in their 60s, 70s, 80s coming into the shop, buying product from the shop, having us, having the best sex ever. And it wasn't just one person, you know, lots of people coming in and still talking about self-pleasure or pleasure with a partner in their sort of 70s and 80s. And we were like, oh my goodness, if you knew, like people have this to look forward to. It's not that, you know, you get to 40 and 50 and then it stops. No, it can get even better.
Yeah, there's actually, I think, a lot of stories of people who tell it's really becoming something for starting at your 40s.
Yeah,
because then you feel like, oh, this is who I am. Oh,
yeah,
I want this. Or you're not insecure anymore, or you just feel like, oh, okay, now I found out.
Yeah.
And that's so great.
And maybe also, you feel more liberated to just say what you want to say.
Yeah.
It's not about getting this orgasm or making babies or I think it's again a different lifestyle, so again important.
Yeah, it's really nice what you're saying about it, like the different phases in life, and that you actually need maybe something different every time.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you're saying about the conversation that we actually don't often have, which is so important to people, to just talk about it, and also to know, oh, I'm not weird, nothing is wrong with me.
Exactly.
Or, because maybe let's go to the story of how you, like, founded self-studies in Antwerp. Maybe you want to tell a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, no.
About that conversation.
Yeah. And I think this was a conversation already 12, 13 years ago. And we were just discussing, like, why isn't there a really nice platform that also speaks to us? Like, of course, I grew up here in Amsterdam and I know the Valle and all the sex shops, and I never really felt the need to go shop there. But there were all these toys, and I always found it fascinating that they were there. Coming both from fashion, we just thought, why isn't there just a nice place where
we would shop, or where you would feel empowered walking down the street with a bag, or if someone saw you going into this store,
that you don't feel
ashamed. And, oh God, how embarrassing, did anybody see me? Oh, we want something that's just
and also a bit more
relating.
Yeah. Where you could find a bit more information about these products and
what they do, how they work. And
there's so many different, talking about toys, there's so many different toys there, which we also only found it out after doing this research and picking out the best toys for self-studies, which is a lot of fun as well. Yeah.
Because how do you do that? How do you curate what's in the store?
Well, I think it's various different ways. We get, which is really nice now, we get a lot of people or a lot of brands sending us product now. But we do it on, we look at the brand, we look at what products are made of, the technology. We also, we want to see how everything works.
Because is there a big difference between toys?
Yeah. So I think for us, the biggest difference are the materials, the technology.
Yeah.
Like the more you spend on a toy, the technology becomes, I think, better. The materials are better.
I think the technology also mean like the motor.
The motor,
the vibration,
yeah.
The rumble. Yeah. You really feel the difference between a 60-euro toy and a 200-euro toy. I mean, yeah.
So would you say there's definitely, if it's more expensive, it's usually better? Yeah. Because sometimes with clothes, for example,
yeah,
that's not the case.
No.
But maybe with sex toys, it is.
In I think our experience, like some of the cheaper ones are very... Very high frequency, high buzzy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, it starts already. Number one is a very, mm-hmm. and a lot of people just want something very soft and a little bit more gentle.
Yeah.
And then you usually find the more expensive the technology, it starts with a lower rumble, a softer vibration.
Mm.
So it starts.
And also a softer silicone.
I like it. I like how you do that.
I think you should do this on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we have you on the. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we see. And every, you know, when we people talk to us about what some people want, something quite punchy to start with, something that's quite, you know, something very strong.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want something just very soft, very slow to start, which is difficult to find. And I have to say, when we did our homework and we were looking, it's a really quite a disappointing experience. When you buy something, once it's opened, you can't return it. It's not like a jacket. You can go home, try it on with an outfit, and you're like, no, I don't like it. I'm going to take it back.
Mm.
With a toy, it's, once it's opened, you can't return it. So it's... For us, it's quite, you know, and I think on the website, we really try and explain as well as possible. Mm. But it can be difficult. It can be challenging to do this on the website. And that's with the store. We had a sample of everything out.
Yeah, that helps
charged,
a lot, I guess.
So people also could hear it, because that's very important.
Yeah.
And I think another thing.
Like, touch it, feel it,
A lot of people used to say to us, the noise is very off-putting. So people want to feel the vibration, hear the sound. These things, I think, for us are very important.
Yeah.
We try to explain on the website, but it's difficult, as opposed to having a physical store when you have the sample. There's some very important things that people can touch and feel.
Yeah, because you're mostly an online store, but you also did two pop-up stores.
Yeah, yeah. We've done
and your products are also in other stores sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did a pop-up shop in Amsterdam in the 9th Street last year.
Yeah.
And just recently.
Yeah.
Another one in Amsterdam. And also our products are at Van Dijk in Waalwijk and Gamarkt 13 in Antwerpen.
Yeah.
And so...
Bastiaans.
Yeah, Bastiaans in Bafel. We did a collaboration with Love Stories, which was super fun.
Yeah.
And I think when this is broadcasted, we are doing this collaboration with Essentiel, which is, of course, really, really cool. And also, I think, super cool of these brands that they embrace this as well.
Yeah. Because do you also think it's the time for it?
Yeah.
And what does make it, like, why does it work now? Why do like these really great brands want to work with?
Antwerp in 12, like we had this conversation 12, 13 years ago. And I did research it then. So we had this whole night of a lot of wine and talking about this idea, which turned out to be self-studies, but then I think we didn't even call it self-studies yet.
And you didn't even know each other yet.
No, we didn't even know each other.
And I did, like, the next day, I felt in my stomach, this is something. Like, I love the idea, and I always love to do something that's a bit off-grid. Huh? Yeah. So, like, a little bit not...
So
it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to look into this and do a little bit of research. But then I could really feel there was no opening in the market at all. Like, it was all still very male driven, I think, and all these toys, they all looked like very big penises.
Mm, yeah.
It was just not really I think now there's also a little bit of fun and humor in the whole bit, but that it was just very serious, and there was just not really an opening. And then I think over the years, of course, the Me Too
happened,
which was, I think a time where women really started to talk and discuss also their issues and their own pleasure. There was just more of a conversation there. And then, of course, COVID happened, which also showed that, people were buying these toys and getting their pleasure differently because they couldn't see each other anymore. So I think these two big things,
And then I think the brands really changed as well. Chisaki's 5 years.
Yeah, a lot of more of female-founded brands came to the market.
Yeah.
So there were just a few of these things happening, which, how do you say this? Like,
yeah, they kind of triggered.
Triggered a conversation.
Conversation.
And a new area, I think, where women can talk more freely about, everything that's happening in orgasm gap, menopause.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only using these toys, but it's more the conversations next to it.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things we've learned on this journey is about the conversation and communication.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't start and stop with the sex toy. That's, and then we always come back to this. The sex toy part is just something, is about the conversation.
Yeah.
It's about the conversation we're having now, but also the conversation that you have with a partner, a best friend, being able to have that conversation, which at the moment people don't have because they're afraid. There's the shame, the embarrassment, whatever.
They didn't learn.
And it's about having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that takes us back to why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And how do you tell people, like, if they come to the store, to one of the pop-up stores, they're not right now there, but no, maybe coming no, up no, next no, no. time.
We're always looking for pop-up stores. But
okay, well, if anyone knows a nice location.
Somewhere soon. Yeah. This is the perfect out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, this would actually be quite a nice little house. So the complaint, the thing I hear sometimes is, sex toys for women makes the male partner insecure, or it's hard, like, in a relationship to have a sex toy as a woman.
Yeah.
So how do you react to that? What would be your answer?
Well, some people always says, people always say, how do I introduce a sex toy?
Oh, well, yeah.
That's a really good, people who haven't used them.
So how do you introduce a sex toy in your relationship?
Well, I think we go back to the first question, which is, we believe our sex life and our pleasure is all ever evolving.
Yeah.
It goes from one level to another, ups and downs, different cycles, depending on what's happening in your personal life. And, when you raise kids, they go through different stages, different ages. There's always different toys, different kind of crafts or different things they're into throughout their going from young children, toddlers to teenagers, whatever. There's always toys for them. And I think for us, it's never about a toy would substitute a partner.
Mm.
It's about how you...
It's an addition.
It's a toy. It's something that can bring you even closer together. And it's not to be seen as a threat.
It's proof there is an orgasm gap, right?
Yeah.
It's proven. So I'm also a bit... like what Nienke said the other day, we had a...
Maybe nice to Nienke help.
We had a conversation with her, and she also said about the... but maybe you can do it better in English. And she said,
you can also in Dutch, if
the, it's a birth canal, right? Like,
yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's got your birth canal doesn't have any nerve endings.
No,
because if you had nerve endings in your birth canal, no one would ever have a baby.
Giving it birth, you would total hell, right?
Total hell. So of course, it's, you know, when a man puts his penis straight in, straight out, in and out, in and out.
Penetrating sex, it's
no nerve endings there.
Yeah, it's not really that exciting. I mean, and then having these toys also to maybe help your partner to tell him or her what you enjoy, what you don't like. You know, it's just like a simple addition to your own pleasure.
Yeah. And I don't make it any bigger than that.
It's a very great addition.
Exactly.
And a playmate. And I also like that.
It's just
And I just don't really understand why this should be a threat for a guy if it's giving his partner like the same pleasure that he's experiencing during sex or play or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think it can enhance the pleasure for both of you. all by yourself. So it's, I just think to have the threat.
Don't take it that seriously. It's also just, it's to have fun in the bedroom is also really, really nice, right? You want to tell
something? I'm just going to say, no, for these guys that do are threatened by it, it's like, okay, but then they also may need some help.
Well, that's they. Yeah. So
do you also sell stuff for men?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do. Yeah.
We do. And actually,
one of our best sellers.
One of our best sellers. Yeah. Is a masturbator for men.
Yeah.
And we.
I think also because it was in the newspaper last year. So when we had the pop up shop in the 9th Street.
Yeah.
The Parool, the newspaper from NSM, they wrote a little bit about us. And they said something about that we also sold guy toys, masturbators, and I think that's also something no one ever talks about. That there's also toys for boys.
No.
If you talk about a sex toy, it's always a toy for women. But I mean, we also sell toys for couples, and we sell toys for men, and so there's so much, yeah.
Yeah, there's toys for all genders, and you sell them all.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Deze aflevering wordt gesponsord door de Seksualiteitsschool. Het opleidingsinstituut waar je terecht kunt voor scholing en bijscholing op allerlei seksualiteitsthema's. Altijd al meer willen leren over seksualiteit? Met cursussen, live opleidingsdagen en e-learnings leer je seksualiteit bespreekbaar maken in jouw dagelijkse praktijk. Met de code Clitoris is geen knopje kun je nu een jaar lang gratis lid worden, waarmee je korting krijgt op het Seksualiteitsschool aanbod, up-to-date blijft en meer voordelen krijgt. Link naar de Seksualiteitsschool en de kortingscode vind je in de show notes.
And we think we have like 100. We have 100 options. We don't buy everything from every brand.
No.
But we buy the brands and the products that.
We curate, so we have to like the product, we have to like the feeling, how it looks, but also the story this brand is telling. It has to fit our philosophy
Yeah. And I think one of the great things about you is that you said already, like, you are not like sexuality experts. I mean, now maybe you are actually years.
Yeah.
But you really search for people in the field.
Yeah,
To also learn from and to
definitely
be inspired by and to do collaborations.
Yeah. But that's because we get all these questions, and we very soon when we started this, we're noticing this. Like, people are asking us stuff.
Yeah.
Are we the ones answering these questions? Because we also don't know all the time.
No.
We do know a little bit more. I do know. I think we can now absolutely advise people when they're looking for a toy, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they tell us what they're looking for or what their issues are, I think we know very well which toys can help certain people. But
do you have an example? Like maybe for listeners now who are like, I'm struggling with this.
So
or...
also last year when we had the shop, I was in the shop and then this lady came in, and I think she was mid-60s,
mm-hmm.
and she told me she lost her husband a couple of years before, and she never used a toy or a vibrator, and well, she was still by herself. She didn't want to ask her children, but life wasn't also over for her. So she said, "I'm here to buy my first sex toy, and I don't want to go to the Valle because exactly what we were just saying. She didn't feel comfortable going to the Valle, and so I helped her to pick out a first vibrator, and then of course keeping in mind that she had given birth to."
Yeah.
To children, of course, years before, but her body is different than from a 16-year-old girl that maybe buys her first vibrator. So,
it was such an intimate moment, right?
Yeah,
to share that with someone that you maybe
Unbelievable.
Will never see again.
Unbelievable.
And then,
she came back 2 weeks later
for another one.
Yeah,
new one. And she loved it. She came back for the next, for the next one. And that just shows how.
And so what would be the difference between a 16-year-old and someone who has been given birth already?
Well, I think being 65 by yourself, not having friends to talk about, it's the fun part is more taking out of the occasion, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think these 16, 17, or even when you're 20, these students, they have each other as well, and they talk about it, and they might go for the satisfier to start with, because that's what everybody's talking about, and they're just interested and curious. But with this lady, I thought we have to start this slowly. She also had to, find her pleasure and so to give her a satisfier to start with would be way too much. So we went for a much more simple vibrator, easy to use, not with 10 different vibrator stanches. Listening to her and what she wanted to, take out of this. It was, for me, more than enough information to.
I think it's really a process, isn't it? Well, like when we had the store, it was, you would have these very intimate conversations very quickly.
Yeah.
Because I think, and what I found out very soon on, people either want an internal vibrator or an external.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just want an external vibrator, so a clitoral toy that they can use alone or during penetrative sex.
Yeah.
And it was, again, coming back to this orgasm gap. A lot of people... I had a lot of people saying, they didn't want anything internal, they just wanted something
external.
And
which is, again, also interesting, coming back to the first time, that's always penetrative sex, almost always.
Yeah.
And that actually a lot of people coming to you are looking for something that's only stimulating the external part of the clitoris.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, you have these very intimate conversations very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But I have to say, very easily spoke to us about what they want, what they needed, what they were looking for.
And you, I think both of you now said a few times that people don't really talk about it with their friends, like maybe students or maybe people now or in different bubbles. How come? Like, why?
I don't know.
I think there still really is. And what I heard from quite a few people who we spoke to, who were probably, our age, they said it was very difficult. The stigma, they felt... they were being a sense of betrayal to their partner.
Okay.
If there was an issue within
a relationship,
going then to a friend or a family member.
So knows your partner.
Knows your partner, exactly. Going and telling them.
It's difficult.
That there's this issue. So it was, I think, the stigma and the shame and the embarrassment, that it's still all intertwined. And I think that's what stops people talking about it. And that's what I heard from... quite a few people that's why they didn't want to open up and tell.
So these are usually people that are in a long relationship, maybe married, maybe have kids, and then they would like something else, maybe, or to try something, or to maybe develop their sexuality or their sex life, and it feels like betraying their partner if they would talk to a friend.
Yeah.
But they can talk to you. Is that kind of how they...
They felt... I think for us, we were a bit apart.
They don't know us, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't judge them. We don't know their partner. It's easy. I also on a completely different level, it's sometimes easier to talk to someone you don't know and tell them all the things you're worrying about.
Or cathartic.
Because I won't see this person again, so it's fine, right?
Yeah.
Like, I leave my... shit with you, just for it out.
Yeah.
And bringing this to your friends, you know they will ask again next time you... Yeah, a good friend will ask again. And
now, have you had an orgasm?
Maybe I don't want to talk to you or about this again in 2 weeks. I just want to dump it somewhere for now and maybe get an answer that I like, or maybe I get an answer which I can't do anything with. But then at least... You did talk about it without coming back to it.
I think younger generations will, I think for the people who are, say, in their 20s now, I think maybe for them it's a little bit different when they grow up, because I know, for example, with the satisfier, they all talk about the satisfier, you've got to have a satisfier, or you've got to have...
Yeah. So the TV shows, you for instance, you have the sex education show on Netflix, and you have a few of these series where sex is not only sex, but also masturbating or everything around it.
Yeah.
It's much more
open. Open and discussed. And I think maybe it's a more of a generational topic, where if you're a certain age, people don't really talk about it so much. And it might be, and that's also exactly what we're teaching our kids, that it is fine to talk about it. Yeah. So, and we hope it.
I'm so curious, actually, if this is like really changing now, or if it's also our bubble.
Me too. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and
yeah,
if
yeah,
it's like, you know, because I heard something about the Satisfier, of course, where someone asked me also, like, do you think, or don't you think it's weird that there are still so many girls having pain with their first penetrative sex? Because there's this research that just came out. And then, because she said, because it's so open-minded and all the young people are talking about Satisfier right now. But actually, I'm wondering if it's like maybe just a group of like these young people.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah.
If we're like still, there's a lot of their generation that's not
speaking about 100%.
It. Yeah. And that we see like it coming up. But I think it's definitely more up there. And I think pleasure also, and the fact that you are there and that self-studies exists is also a sign of something that it is changing, I hope.
I think, a lot of these things in society, it takes decades.
It takes so long.
And this change.
Just happening. Eh?
Yeah.
And this is something from the last few years. But no, definitely. Like, we're there, but you also have, you're here. Yeah. You have the sex issues.
Yeah.
Nienke Helder is working on it.
Yeah.
Like there, and then we're just talking about the Netherlands, of course, because I think
there's good things going on.
Yeah,
also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. Like there's nothing happening yet. No, absolutely not.
And of course it's our world now. So we know everything that's going. A lot of things that are going on. But still, I think there's a lot of people who don't know. So I hope. Yeah.
And also in terms of different countries as well. I think for us being in Europe, being in Amsterdam, it's very open.
Yeah.
Much more open.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
When we've spoken to people who were buying toys up at the shop and they were living in the Middle East.
I actually was there. I wanted to ask you about this.
And then they said, okay, I'm going to open it. And if I go through customs, I said, oh, Barney Sarja or a fate, like, you know.
We have this group of Arabic, and they, I think they bought like 10 toys.
And they bought them for gifts.
Yeah.
And then she told me, but we can't use these toys in, so we can't buy them. Mm-hmm. We can't use them. We're not allowed to have them. But if I take, like, these all look like a computer mouse or a stress ball. So I'm just taking these with me also for my friends and my sisters, and which is also a good sign, right? Like that they're,
Yeah, but it's definitely a good sign, and also very interesting how different it is everywhere.
Something I would love to explore also with self studies, the website, like different cultures.
How
is this?
Yeah, because I think that's a downside in our field still. There's a lot of white.
Definitely. But also, for instance, a country like France is much more private, right? Like.
Yeah.
When we were researching also different products for our website, we had a conversation with a lipstick brand, which was really funny. And because we wanted to be this platform or this website where next to the toys, you can also buy other things for yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's why we also sell a perfume or a nice candle or a nice cream. And so we were this conversation with a lipstick brand. And
a very nice French lipstick
from Paris, also a bit more in the fashion area. And they were just laughing. Like, we were explaining the concept and what we were planning and how self-studies would look. And these girls, they were just laughing.
Oh, they were really uncomfortable themselves.
They were so uncomfortable during COVID as well. We had all started just using Zoom.
Yeah.
And you just kept seeing her head bobbing out.
Yeah.
And coming back in again. She was like. And we were like, this is our business.
Yeah.
We're taking our business very seriously.
Yeah.
They were just.
So even there, like, it's not even that far away. But
no, it's not.
Yeah.
And interesting, because I think France is also doing some things on like feminism and activism. This huge clitoris is also next to the Eiffel Tower.
But I think the same is here, right?
Yeah,
like there's also a group in the bubble
doing
this here.
Sometimes I tend to forget. Like, I give a lot of trainings and I always forget, okay, there's still people who don't know about the clitoris, for example, and I always tell it.
Yeah.
And then I'm always, again,
so bringing this message to the larger group is still difficult, and I think
but really I think one way of doing it is what you're doing. It's not like just grow sex toys from the wallet, but it's also like a lifestyle, and it's also taking care of yourself, and it's also self-love also, and
having a conversation about it
and intertwining it with all the rest in life.
And I don't, for us, the education, like bringing it back a bit to how we educate our kids, and we did an event a while back, and there was a mother there, and a mother was buying a product for her daughter who was a virgin, she
weren't 16,
she just turned, just about to turn 16. She said, I want her. She said, we're very open. We have a very, you know, we talk about sex. Mm. She hasn't had sex, but I want her to understand her own body and understand her own pleasure, and to understand, to give herself an orgasm, and that she can, this is what it feels like. And we were both like, wow,
this is why we do this.
This is why we're doing what we're doing, because this is how it should be. And then, you know, Simone wrote our poem for Mother's Day last year, and it was like, no one can tell you, maybe that was another pun, but no one can tell you what you know, only you.
It's her manifesto.
Oh, man, only you can tell yourself what you like.
Yeah.
You don't like. Sorry, it's our manifesto, not pun.
Yeah. So,
and it, that's, I think, it just keeps on coming back on whatever we do about the education, knowing yourself.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back. Yeah. Whatever bit we touch or whatever we do, it keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Because coming back to other professionals you talk to, what did you learn?
Yeah, so much. Conversation.
Yeah. No, I think indeed, like the top lines, the important thing is connection, conversation, communication. It all starts with communication.
Yeah.
With yourself, with others. To learn to talk about yourself, what you like, to put yourself first.
Because one of your sentences also is put your pleasure first.
You come first.
You come first.
And that's so true. That says everything. It's sometimes really okay to come first.
Actually, maybe even better. And so what? Because I know there's a lot of women or girls who don't come first or don't put their pleasure first, and there's a lot of women also, of course, who feel like maybe pain is okay, or that maybe this is how it's supposed to be.
Pain is never okay.
So what would you tell people who have maybe a hard time taking up space for themselves? Like how, maybe also like all genders, but I think I know, of course, the orgasm gap is a bit more, is definitely worse.
Well, I think again, it starts with communication.
Yeah, but how do you do it? Like how do you start a conversation?
By first having this conversation with yourself, and find out why for yourself why this is painful, what's happening when it's painful, then maybe
physically, mentally,
exactly
what's happening, what's under, and that's kind of taking a moment to stop, pause,
and then maybe try for yourself, try some different things, try some different toys, or not even toys, but find out where it's coming from, and because sometimes it's physical, but also sometimes it's in your head, right?
Yeah.
So just being completely honest with yourself and taking the time to learn about yourself, is so important.
To learn just about what is your pleasure, mm-hmm. and how does it work, and
because
different
again,
maybe
you
every
don't
day
know, if you don't know, you can't tell anybody else.
No,
and that's the important thing, I think, as well as the conversation around it. So if there are things you do like, you don't like, or you want them to stop because you're in pain, that's absolutely fine. There shouldn't be any point where sex should be painful.
If you wanted to. Like I always say, sex shouldn't hurt. Only if you were looking for it.
If it's painful, stop, and it's fine to stop.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with stopping.
No.
And to figure out what it is that you do like, what's gonna not cause pain, and I think it is feeling with giving this voice to yourself.
I think it's actually just also really important to stop when you're in pain, because I think your brain sort of remembers that it's going to hurt, and then it's harder to get turned
not
on.
Only girls, because this is also boys,
this is good,
So this doesn't apply to...
No, I think boys and men are also doing a lot of things that they actually don't want to. But I think the taboo on men not wanting to have sex is huge.
Yeah, yeah. But they're spoken about.
Yeah. And the gender norms. And do you experience something like this in your work? Like with the gender norms?
No, but we hear, you know, just in terms of, we hear a lot about, of course.
We read a lot about boys, yeah.
And how girls feel that they need to... perform in a certain way, make certain noises, climax in a certain amount of time. This is how you do it, because this is what the expectation is. Well, of course, it's expectation and reality, two totally different things. But it comes back to, this the society that we're in at the moment and the influences of what people are watching.
Yeah. And maybe also changing that representation. Yeah. I think that's also something you do with self-studies, like changing the representation of what sex means.
Yeah.
Like, what is it actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the story about the woman with, like, buying a toy for her daughter.
Yeah.
And first exploring her own pleasure and her own body.
So it was full circle for us.
You could stop actually after that.
And then within a few, because there were some younger girls in where we
the room as well, yeah.
And then they came in and were like, okay, so what are you doing then?
Yeah.
And we had exactly this same conversation with them about, you know, and they were teenagers, like 16,
17.
And we were like, you know, you learn about yourself, because nobody's going to tell you what you do and don't like apart from yourself.
Yeah.
So you learn that bit and then you can always communicate it.
Yeah. Again, you come first.
You come first.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Let's go with the question, like, there's a lot of things going on in sexuality, and of course it changes all the time, and it's also depending on where you live, how you live, your relationship status, your age, whatever, do you have kids or not. But if there would be three things that you could change around sexuality, like in the broadest sense of the word, is there, or one thing, but is there anything you would think, oh, this would really make the world a better place in terms of sexual wellness or sexual well-being?
That's such a broad, I think for me it's about if people, the shaming part and the fear, is a bit of the fear of the unknown, whatever the problem was, if there was something where and I think it would be if there was our digital product. We're also looking to develop a digital product.
Tell a bit more about that.
We're working on it at the moment, but basically it would be a tool to enhance relationships, pleasure, but also about understanding a little bit about yourself,
communicating this.
And it's kind of this, everything we've spoken about now on the podcast is bottling that up and putting it into a digital platform. It's just, if there was more of an awareness for things, people wouldn't. I think shame and stigma come from people who don't know anything about it and are afraid.
Yeah.
But actually,
there's so many like-minded people.
So many people who you talk to who are going through the same issues, similar issues, slightly different. If everybody spoke about it, there would be no shame and no stigma. But because nobody does speak about it, it becomes an issue, and it shouldn't be. So we're looking at this digital platform where you would be able to find information that you'll be at the click of a button.
We're not saying that everybody always have to talk. Like, it's also for you, it could be different than for me, right? Like the things you share or ask, or so it's fine that everybody does it in their own way. But I think it's nice if there would be a platform like the one we're now,
like this one question therapist.
Yeah. Where you can find your information, where it's okay to go to and ask a question or find like-minded people with similar problems or all kinds of people that are in the same age group, not in the same, but where you can find
this community.
A community.
And everything in one place.
In one place.
Because you just showed it to me, like, I mean, the version that's not out there yet, but it's so pretty, and it's also, you can buy stuff, but you can talk about stuff. You can have like a conversation with your partner if you like to, and you can like ask questions, and then
you can watch a movie
you
together.
You can watch a movie together. You can
play games.
And
it's also, I think, of course, this is one of my main goals, but like normalizing it.
Yeah.
And it's not like this gross place where you have to go, or like this porn site where people actually, they, I know a lot of people go to porn sites and then they look at it, they masturbate, and then they, ooh, they close their laptop because it feels so gross. And then they feel guilty afterwards.
Yes.
And you don't want that, because it's like sexuality. It's just a normal part of your being.
Yeah, but I
and
do, like,
could
one
be
person
definitely
is more private than the other one. So
yeah, it's
what
important
I mean
to say that too.
So that's what I mean with you. We don't have to be open about everything. If you want to keep it for yourself, that's totally fine. But I do think and feel that there is always
there are always many questions.
Huh? There are people who always will look for information or want to find someone else going through the same problems or whatever. So to have this space where you can go to.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I think it's also interesting because there's definitely a difference. Of course, people shouldn't put everything on the table if they don't want to. But if it comes from shame or from stigma and you're maybe experiencing problems that you maybe don't have to experience because there's so many other people who go through the same stuff, I think it helps so much when people are like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
No, I think just, I think after I had my first child.
Yeah.
And then sex changes because, you know, your body changes.
Yeah,
and
no one talks about this.
No one talks about it. And I was like, am I the only one? Like, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Is there and then you actually speak to a couple of people like, oh, no, yeah, that also happened to me. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. That's totally normal. And then you realize, oh, it's part of the process and it's very normal. Actually, no one talks about it.
No.
But that's the same with orgasms, right?
Yeah.
Having an orgasm during partner sex is also this no one talks about, right? Like, it also
and a little bit like the menopause as well.
Yeah.
And no one really talks about that.
No.
Oh, it's getting more and more spoken about.
Yeah, but still.
Still a bit shame. And
really says, okay. And of course it is a bit like childbirth. Everyone has a very different experience.
Sure.
And I think menopause is the same. Everyone has very different experiences.
Yeah.
But it's more that
first time everybody's experience is different.
Yeah, but even sex. Like, I can have sex with my boyfriend one day and the next day, and then it can be totally different. So it differs. It always differs, I think.
Mm.
And about motherhood and sexuality, I'm actually looking still for an expert to talk about this, because and it's really hard to find. I mean, maybe if listeners know anyone, please let me know. Because
what are you looking for?
I want to talk to someone who on sex during pregnancy and after.
Yeah.
And like what they would tell or what they would say about it. And I don't know if you want to like share anything. It doesn't have to be personal, but like in terms of what would you tell people that you didn't know, because I hear of course I haven't had children yet, maybe
take your time.
Take your time. Is that like one of the of course, let's maybe go to the I don't know the word in English, but the verloskundige, like the
the midwife. Like a midwife,
like the people helping you after you have given birth. And then I know that there's still so many people who are telling like the newborn moms, so I think 6 weeks or something, and then they mean penetrative sex. And then you can do that again. And I know, like, from a lot of my friends that it's not possible. You can't do it.
Yeah.
This
is different for everybody. And I think especially after giving birth to your first child, it's happening, right?
And I think it's a discovery. It should be a beautiful adventure that you go on with yourself, with a loved one.
Yeah.
Because to go back to how it was pre-baby, which would have been 6-7 weeks ago, it's different.
Yeah.
And you just need to understand it's going to be different. And
is it like different on all levels? Like, is it because you experience your body different, or also because you feel different?
I think also maybe the hormones
The
hormones, you know.
I don't know anything about this.
It's a different force as well. I think it's maybe the hormones, but I think it's more just on a physical level. Things have changed.
Yeah.
How penetration felt before feels different.
It feels
now.
Different. Yeah,
you're in the process of the recovery as well, like a major recovery.
Yeah.
But it's more that I think you just have to go on this process of discovery with yourself again, and don't rush into anything. But it's just understand things do change.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely normal.
Yeah.
And you have to rediscover yourself.
Yeah, but it's so good to say this out loud because I think no so many people... No, but don't even think about it beforehand.
No.
Because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
And to some people, it's probably exactly the same and nothing has changed.
Just like the good thing. And also, so that's the thing. It is different for, you know, everybody.
But I'd say it as a moment of rediscovery.
Yeah, so... Yeah, after a given birth, you're saying it's a rediscovery.
It's a moment of rediscovery.
Yeah, and taking your time.
Take your time to rediscover.
Be nice to yourself, maybe also.
Go easy on yourself.
And
if it is normal.
Don't feel pressure.
If nothing's changed, then brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah.
But if it has changed, know that that's also totally normal and part of the process, right? And it's,
Yeah, and maybe also coming back to what you were saying, like, of course, talk about it with other people if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine too.
Uh-huh.
But you're not the only one. Maybe that's also important to say out loud here.
Yeah.
That
it's
not just you that things change.
And then if you can find if you do want to talk about it and you can find the right person to talk about it, that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also like toys can definitely help.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
Maybe it feels different. Maybe you feel different.
Sure.
Maybe you just want to try some other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but this is again, I think, definitely a taboo subject.
It just doesn't get it just doesn't get mentioned.
No. So no, also some work to do there.
And this is also bringing it back again to where we started. Like these stories can be a first for every phase of your life, right?
Yeah.
Like before you have your official first time.
Yeah.
After you've given birth, during menopause, where your body also changes a lot. Like it's there's always. A toy can always be helpful. Nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of.
No.
Definitely none.
Just an addition and a playmate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So is there anything else you would like to share that you would like to...
to share? For me, I think, we've discussed... we've discussed the main bit about the... And I think why we're doing it, and it is to have these... conversations and normalize this whole topic, and nobody's alone. There's always somebody else going through something similar, the same, and 50% of the population are women. So there's a lot of other people going through very similar journeys.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Oh,
I loved having you. And I'm so curious about your journey, how it will like continue and what will happen in the next couple of years.
We'll
definitely be following you. You can come back and tell me about
an update.
It. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you.
Tada! We hebben een hele leuke winactie. Schrijf je in voor de Sekswijzer nieuwsbrief via annemariajansen.com en maak kans op een Womanizer Next 3D. Als je me een e-mail stuurt met waarom jij of iemand anders die je haar cadeau wil doen, dit speeltje wil hebben, maak je dubbel zoveel kans. Meld je aan voor de Sekswijzer nieuwsbrief via link in bio. En stuur me een berichtje via anna.desekswijzer@gmail.com. De Womanizer Next 3D is echt, next level seksspeeltje. Dus echt pleasure gegarandeerd. Bedankt voor het luisteren. Praat lekker over seks en doe het altijd met plezier. Wil je adverteren? Neem dan contact met mij op via annamariajansen.com/podcast. De audio- en videoproductie is gedaan door Stephanie van Dracht van Stories & Studios. Het beeld en logo zijn ontworpen door Bureau Grotesk. De muziek is geproduceerd door Diederik Bransma en de titel is bedacht door Claire Bontje. Deze podcast is opgenomen bij Dr. Mama.